Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Omega Leader Series show, live in studio this evening with Lori Beth Jones, best-selling author of the book Leading Our Discussion, Teach Your Team to Fish. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. It's a little bit different for us to be on an evening show, right?
Right.
But I'm going to take all the blame for that. I messed up on the time of the afternoon show today, so I apologize to your listeners and to you for keeping you up so late tonight.
Listen, it's the least we can do because you just don't mess up. So you've got a lot going on with your mom and everything else, so I appreciate you.
Definitely a lot going on. Well, we're jumping into this section, Lori, in Teach Your Team to Fish. We've gone through the excite segment, the grounding segment, and we're moving into this section of your book called the transformation section. And on this show, we've been talking about what it means to be an Omega leader, and one of the ways that you've kind of pitched for us and in your books and in your writings, in your seminars and through your curriculum, you've taught us that Jesus did four things with his team, and he excited them like fire, he grounded them like water. I mean, like earth, sorry. He transformed them like water and then released them like wind. And it is such an easy way to grapple with leadership and team building and those things that, the work of our hand every day, that people that are working in teams. How did you come to this place that Jesus led his team this way? How did you get there?
Well, as you know, I've been playing with the concept of the elements since 1996 when I wrote The Path. And so it's just become a real a memory tool, a way of framing things. It's a way of just looking at the world differently. And when I was writing Teach Your Team to Fish, I'm always trying to simplify concepts for my own mind especially, but I looked at the fact that that's what he did. He excited his teams like fire, he grounded them like the earth, he transformed them like water, and he released them like the wind. And I thought, if every team leader did that, did those four things, they would have incredible productivity.
Wow. It is amazing, when you really start to allow this to take root in a team process, just magical to watch how easy people are attracted to this type of leadership, and certainly using Jesus as a role model for that makes it even easier. So tonight begins a journey down this transformation track with you in this section of Teach Your Team to Fish, and we jump off into this chapter that he taught transformation and not transactions. What a fun chapter this has been this week to kind of get our hands around, and your tweets that have come out this week have just been, phenomenal things to chew on. It's just amazing. And so we want to hear from you, the background around this chapter and the principle of leadership that we're talking about here.
Well, teaching transformation rather than transactions. If we really sit down and think about that, every transaction that takes place is the result of someone desiring to be transformed. And I believe in the chapter I talk about someone buying makeup. They want to be transformed into someone attractive or beautiful. Someone
right.
buying, they want to be transformed to another state of mind or mindlessness. So it's so easy in business and in relationships too, I think, to begin to look at the transactional nature of things as what you do instead of remembering the kind of business or the purpose of relationship that you're in, which is to transform and be transformed. I remember reading a relationship book, and they said the whole purpose of relationships really is to feel more alive.
Mm.
You know, do you feel more alive when you're around this person, or do you feel dead inside? And that's something that needs to be examined, obviously. But with transformation, are you being transformed by where you are and what you're doing? Or are you just mindlessly transacting something across a table?
Right. You talk about transformation being an inside job. Are you referring to the Holy Spirit here? Are you referring to, inner work? What are you referring to as an inside job? What happens here?
Well, the inside job is it happens from the inside out. When you are moved, when you are touched or taught or made different. You know, if we just go through the day and through the motions of things, we can go entire lifetimes and not be changed and not be touched. And that's what transformation is. Jesus, you know, I say that no one was the same as the result of encountering him.
Mm.
And that's the transformation that I believe is of a spiritual nature. We remember our source. We are like ants that have tumbled into the granary, as the poet Rumi said. You know, how can we not be in awe when we think about where we came from?
Right, right. This verse at the beginning of the chapter, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," in Matthew chapter 4, you refer to that. I've heard you talk about the disciples dropping their nets, their tools, their day-to-day, and following Christ. An immediate transformation, I would say. Talk to us a little bit about how, as leaders, we meet people, as you said, relationally. We connect with people as we go throughout our days with a team, with staff, with other leaders or managers. How do we get to that level where people are transformed by leadership, by our leadership, by how we are moving or how we are transforming in life? How does that happen?
Well, I think that it's intention. It's the intention of the leader. Not that you're going to have a transformational moment every time. You know, somebody's got to take out the garbage and somebody's transactions have to be a part of it. But when a leader sits down and looks really into the soul of a person that they're with and says, you know, I really appreciate you and I wouldn't be the same without you. This company wouldn't be the same without you. That's a transforming moment. So giving appreciation transforms people, and it can transform productivity as well. We were just in a seminar with a group of Methodist pastors the day before yesterday, and we did the awesome element exercise where they talk about what irritates them about working with their opposite element, and people have fun, but a lot of conflict gets aired, and then you can feel the group energy. They're just, you know, standing apart from one another. But when the group start to appreciate, you know, wind, we need you as Earths because you keep us lively and you keep things interesting. When you hear that appreciation, you could really sense the energy in the room go from hostility and silos into one of cooperation and appreciation. So I think that's one of the really most leaders need to show a lot more of. It'd be a very simple way to transform the energy in a workplace is to appreciate the people.
Yeah. Just those simple touches that those moments where, you know, possibly they're not planned out very well. They just happen maybe, right?
Right.
Yeah. I love in this chapter how you take us on this little journey about how Jesus dealt with transformation, or how it appeared, particularly in some instances like with the Samaritan, you know, with an outcast stranger, how, you know, from an outcast stranger to a newly forgiven team member whose heart was truly known, transformation from someone who was bound to dust to someone who was bound for glory. You know, just so beautifully you have these images of what it looks like, what transformation looks like. And so you're describing to us here on this call, you know, as a leader, as a CEO, as a principal, as a pastor, you know, as a mother, transformation is really at the heart matter, and transaction is probably at the mind level, correct?
Right. Well, in transaction, sometimes it's at the mindless level.
True.
And I'm guilty of it myself. When I hand my $20 bill to the person at McDonald's, I just want to make sure the order is right. And I don't take time to look into their eyes. I don't wonder what's going on in their life. You know, so it's the sense of awareness that you're dealing with a spiritual being on the other side of that transaction. I think it was C.S. Lewis who says, "You have never met a mere mortal."
Yeah.
And we forget that in the transactions of day to day.
I think you said it so well in this chapter when you pointed us to this particular quote that you have written. Nobody got a one-shot transaction with Jesus, not even the people who killed him. You know, that is a powerful, powerful, powerful statement and image. And I think what you just indicated just now was, you know, when we step into an elevator and we punch the floor, you know, and there's only one other person in there, sometimes there's no exchange, and maybe there doesn't need to be every time.
Right.
But wow, what an opportunity we have, I think, as buyers, particularly when we're just ready to, you know, get to the next floor, right, and get off and go get the task done. You know, bringing some water into our lives and as fires is what I'm taking away from this chapter, and this principle of he taught transformation over transaction, Lloyd Best. So very powerful.
Well, thank you.
I think 60 seconds. Do you want to wrap us up on something here?
Well, I had a friend who a woman backed into her outside of a bank and hit her BMW, and this friend, rather than getting really upset about it, had a lot of compassion for this woman and saw it as an opportunity to have a transformational time with this lady, as opposed to, you broke my car and you got to fix it, you know. So I would just invite all of us, myself included, to, as we go through this next week, look for the transformation that can come through the transaction and keep that as your focus, and the Lord will be served.
Wow. Well, thank you, Lori, for this time this evening and for this powerful segment on transformation. We'll be back next week at our regular scheduled time, 3:30 Pacific time, with Lori Beth and another principle on transformation. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you, Shelley.
Okay.